Hey, Pop, don't you think it's time you start dating again?
Who with?
Well, I happen to know Florence Gilbert, for example, down at the Rotary Club, thinks you're quite a catch.
She looks like Ernest Borgnine.
Is that such a bad thing?
Yeah.
What about Jane Clark? Jane Clark?
Jane of the Jungle's got more body hair than I do. She's a fur-bearing mammal, for God's sake.
Doris Zabrinsky, huh? I know she's a little heavy, but she loves to fish. You get her on the boat.
Doris Zabrinsky is dead.
She is?
She choked to death on a stack of pancakes 2 weeks ago at the Lions Club charity breakfast.
Wow.
I think it's how she would have wanted to go.
Pop.
Yeah?
Listen to me. You can't sit around waiting for another Ariel to walk into your life. Thanks for the Phillips.
Drink 'em.
What?
Remember when you were a kid? Your mother baked that rhubarb pie for my birthday?
She swelled up like a balloon, broke out in hives. She didn't know she was allergic to rhubarb.
Oh, she knew. She baked it anyway, because she knew it was my favorite.
What made you think of that, Pop?
I don't know. I think about things like that all the time.
Stars are in the blue, long as there's a spring of bird to sing, I'll go on.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
We did it. We made it to 2018. That is Andrew. No one here. It's me and Douglas again.
We are the most important part of this podcast.
We're free from the tyrants. Our overlord has gone back to his frozen lair.
And speaking of our freedom,
let
on today's unnamed technology podcast,
let it snow.
CES started this weekend.
Yes! It's Damian's Christmas.
So many things, Damian. So many.
I'll just mute my mic and edit the rest of it out. All right, cool. We're not talking about CES, guys. We're not doing it. We're not talking about Nvidia doing crazy things at CES. We're not doing it.
Okay.
We're
definitely not.
We're going to be talking about old people in movies. All right.
Oh, Nebraska.
Nope. We're talking about Nebraska Part 2.
No, we're not.
Which is, as IMDb quoted, a spiritual journey of a 19-year-old atheist. The movie called Lucky, starring Harry Dean Stanton in his final film role, directed by John Carroll Lynch.
Realism is the practice of accepting a situation as it is.
What you're saying is what you see is what you get.
But what you see is not what I get. They call me Lucky.
President Roosevelt escaped.
How does a 100-year-old tortoise escape?
I hope he turns up soon, for Howard's sake.
I got this anxiety attack. I fell.
Lucky fell down.
Let's not make a production out of it.
No sign of concussion. Lungs are great, even though you smoke. You get much exercise.
I walked around.
Douglas decided to pick this movie for the podcast, and I think...
Yes, I did.
He'll start us off.
All right, great. So, you did probably about as good a job as anybody as to how to describe this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie is about a man that does stuff and is old. So let's move on from there.
Yes.
So this movie, I picked essentially based on Andrew, you and your friends, and what they...
I feel like this is going to become a blame game right now.
About this movie. So, for I think the last 3 or so weeks, right, since it came out in Canada and those guys have been able to watch it, my Twitter stream and my Letterboxd stream have had nothing but orgasms about this movie. Mm-hmm. And about how great it is. Damian, I am feeling very much unfulfilled and underserved by this film. This movie, the thing about it is, at the end of the day, you watch it, and it's definitely a problem with my expectations or what I've been fed. Because I come to the end of the movie and I say, well, it was all right. And this movie, and you guys mentioned it, and maybe this is my problem, though we can talk about this in a little while. It does have a Nebraska feel to it. And I think that it's pretty well recorded, my views on Nebraska. Not necessarily the most positive of responses from me on that one. And this one is the same, except not as violent, right? I feel the violence simply because of how hyped this movie was for me. But at the end of the day, the movie was fine, and it definitely had its moments, right? I loved things like when he fell down and literally everybody in the town, it was like there was some sort of Chinese telephone. Everybody was, you know, saying, hey, Lucky, are you okay? Let me come, you know, look after you. Here, have some coffee. Things like that, right? And I thought that was kind of just dumb and fun. And guys, this fellow's morning activities, his ritual, which involved, I mean, he claims it's exercise, but let's be real here. He was a lonely man and he had needs to fulfill. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. You know, stupid moments like that I enjoyed. And actually, so
I do 5 yoga moves every day.
Yeah, yeah. 21 reps.
Mm-hmm. 21 reps.
So Andrew actually included an audio bite, a sound bite from this movie in our top 10 podcast. And it was also an interesting, it was a cool point of the movie. Not potentially also because of who said it. I remember when he first came on screen, I said, but I know you. I think you're my friend.
I don't know if he's my friend.
I realized it was. It's David Lynch, who, yeah, he really isn't my friend. I don't know why I want to love him as much as I do, but he's made some crazy ass shit. But David Lynch is in this movie talking crazy shit about his tortoise. And, you know, they're just small moments like that, small things that I think drive this film. And probably for those of us who love this movie, I think maybe they have more of those to latch onto, or perhaps latch onto the ones that I had much stronger than I did. But at the end of the movie, I mean, a lot of it and I know that I like movies like this, which mm-hmm. is why it's kind of difficult
Which is strange to me, because I remember when I saw this movie, I'm like, this is a Douglas type of movie. Like, it probably isn't a top 10 Douglas type of movie, but it's a Douglas type of movie nonetheless.
Yeah, it does feel like a movie that I should like and that I would like. But there is just, you know, and I always have to just put it down to, you know, whether it is what was happening at the time or how dumb I feel at the moment, but this one just didn't click with me. And so when you don't get that click, you start to really, you know, we talk about it, you start to nitpick, you start to think about all of the things that you feel have been done wrong. And there's a lot of things in this movie where it moves, but you're not quite sure how it moves from one concept or one idea to the next, and it just keeps doing that until it's finished. And when it finishes, that's exactly what it does. It just kind of stops. And you know, not necessarily my cup of tea. And I'm actually sad, because in a way I remember watching this and thinking it's kind of like Paris, Texas, but I love that movie. But you know, it is what it is. Damien, what were your thoughts on this Nebraska part two?
Does that mean?
That you clearly love so much because Nebraska.
Definitely not looking at college football. Guys, I like football now. Watching the college football finals. This movie is a mess. It starts out and it is quirky and fun. And you go, all right, it is like Nebraska in that there's an old man who's a mean piece of shit. And we're going to make fun of him and his meanness towards everybody for the rest of this movie. And for the first half of this movie, it is that. He falls and he's mean to his doctor. He's mean to everyone that visits him. He just ramps up in his meanness. And you're like, all right. There must be some kind of redemption at the end. But with all movies about old men being dicks, his redemption will be everyone accepting that he's justified being a piece of shit. Which is what Gran Torino did, is what Nebraska did. All movies about old white men are the same exact movies. But that is fine. Halfway through this movie, though, this movie makes a hard turn. Where it's just like, no. Ignore all the yoga bits. Ignore all the jokes about turtles. And his bar mates being idiots or whatever. We're going to take you on a serious journey about an old man coming to terms with the fact that he's old as shit. And then, to add to that, it's just like, oh, and I don't know if you have spent any time watching Ken Burns documentaries, but let us dump a war story in the back half of this movie and have that dictate how the rest of the movie goes, which this movie did not earn at any point. You don't get to say 3/4 of the way into a movie, I was in Vietnam and I was a cook. And then shit all over what the first half of this movie built. So that you can get some kind of payoff in the end, which they didn't stick the landing on that either. And so this movie just didn't... What it set up in the first half, it didn't pay off. It's not that type of movie. And what it sets, what it does in the second half is unearned, because that's not what the first half of the movie is. And the overarching story of an old man coming to terms with what happens as you get older and older is also, it's handled so weirdly that you don't get, there's no real sense of enjoyment out of this movie, right? Which is what the first half of the movie sets up. And the back half, you don't get to see him truly struggle with this thing. He speaks to one guy and then his whole worldview is codified. He's just like,
yeah,
I am this now. And then the movie ends, and which is unfair.
As you're talking, right, I think what also this movie suffers from is the fact that this type of movie, what really helps it, and what happens a lot, of course, is that you kind of find solace and find the love for a movie in its connections that it creates, right? In the connections between the cogity old person and whatever other characters there are. But what they do is they try and set up a few of those, right? There is the party, the birthday party, where something tries something could be set up.
Yeah.
There is when the waitress goes to his house, where something could potentially be set up. There is, as you said, a vet. There are a bunch of people, veteran, army, well, not army, but war veteran.
I thought you were calling his doctor.
Well, he's an animal.
I actually thought Damon felt Douglas was talking about like the pet shop.
No, I legitimately thought, wait a second.
It wasn't until Douglas clarified veteran. I'm like, right, do call them vets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are a bunch of people. There are a lot of people here that you have the beginnings of potential serious and heartwarming, for lack of a better word, relationships to develop into something for you to watch and be engaged in and to really like the movie for. And they throw all of those away. They never actually act on any of them. And again, you know, I don't want to make this sound like, you know, ah, fuck this movie because of all of these things. Because the truth is, there are movies like this, like, for example, Slacker, that I love, even though I think Slacker, as disjointed as it is, does a lot better with some of its, you know, connections and relationships than this movie has, to be quite frank. But I think, at least for me, that's one of the things that I noticed in the movie, that, you know, these relationships that could have been somewhere for me to say, you know what, this is my home, this is where I want to be when I watch this movie, they just weren't there.
Look, this movie,
I'm physically hurt.
What I don't appreciate with this movie is its willingness to go, he's old. Okay, we understand that. You drop him being a war veteran 3/4 of the way through the movie. I get that. Having someone else walk into the movie out of the clear blue sky and then having them have one conversation and having that single conversation dictate the end, almost as if they were saying, the first part of this movie isn't the movie that we wanted. It's the movie that someone told me to make. But here's what I'm going to do for the end. No one is watching now. So let me end this movie. Because my old man or my grandfather or me or whoever it is that wrote this script or is directing this movie, war is tough. And the further away people get from it, is the less they truly understand how hellish war is. But if that is what I wanted, Ken Burns has several documentaries that are 20 odd hours long that can take me step by step through the rigors and the truly horrifying nature of what war is. You don't get to have an old man do yoga and fall down and then turn at the very end and go, but war is shitty. And growing old is sad. And have a turtle moonwalk across the screen and think that he's going to wow me. No, dog. You don't get that. This movie, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's not good. That much. And I know this movie is not good. I don't know if it is bad. I'm certain it is. It's like Mother. There might not be bad movies, but they're not good movies either.
So Douglas, you know that moment where like you come to a space and you're like ready to like have a good time and then you hear everybody talk and just shit on everything you love and you're like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore.
Uh-huh. That tends to be the podcast for me.
Yeah. When you pick bad movies, that's what happens.
I didn't pick this movie, but all right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I'm talking to Douglas specifically. Okay. When he picks bad movies, that is what tends to happen.
Oh, that is true. But it's weird to me where it's not so much that like you guys are talking about a movie you dislike and you're just disliking all the things I like kind of thing with the movie. It's a thing where you're talking about a movie in which I don't think you're describing the movie I saw.
We watched Lucky Logan. Is what we
watch. All right, so Lucky. I mean, I spoke about this movie like a few months back, but yes. I watched it again last night for the podcast, and it's strange to me how everything I loved about this movie just kind of amplified as I was watching it, where like you guys are talking about,
don't worry Andrew, when you hear those noises that's just me turning off the podcast.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be more CES videos in the background.
Yeah.
Don't tempt us.
This movie about just this guy and this guy in this town walking around, and everything that kind of happens to him, like plot wise, like kind of fades away for me in this movie. Where for me watching this movie, it's more of an existential kind of a film, and the everything that goes on in this movie feels like, I don't know if it's me projecting, and it probably is, it feels as if who I'm watching on the screen isn't a character of Lucky, it's who I'm projecting Harry Dean Stanton is, right? In which we get these moments which are these fun moments for me of Harry Dean Stanton playing around with other character actors between David Lynch, between Ron Livingston, between, why can't I remember his name? I have it up in front of me. Between Ed Begley Jr., who plays the doctor.
I was kind of happy when I saw him come because I really like him. I think he's really funny.
And a name that I don't know if anyone actually knows his name, but we know his face, Barry Henley, who played Joe, the guy who owns the diner that he goes to in the morning.
Oh, you mean Coach... What's his face?
What?
Isn't he the coach from Friday Night Lights?
No, that's Ron Livingston. That's the lawyer. Oh, so that's the lawyer.
That means he's Office Space then. I always mix those two people up.
Who's Office Space? Oh.
The guy that you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
The lawyer. The lawyer is a main character from Office Space.
No, the lawyer is... Anyways, I'm not going to try and correct Douglas because it's all mixed up.
You are talking about the owner of the...
The diner.
The diner.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Douglas is talking about the lawyer.
The owner of the diner?
The black guy that owns the black round face. Oh, okay. That owns the diner.
But didn't you say lawyer?
I did. No. When you said coach, what's his name?
You started talking about coach, what's his name?
Which is the lawyer.
And then...
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Right. All right, so yes. I got it right at first. Yes.
You're both right. You're just talking about we're talking different about, people.
Getting all confused.
Okay. Okay, I know what you mean now. I know what you mean. Yeah. Sorry about that.
And to me, this is a movie of scenes that there is a story aside of just Lucky kind of moving along in his life, and I don't really see it as a film of, as the movie describes, as IMDb describes, as you guys are talking about, a man coming to terms with his age. I just see it as a movie of scenes, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you recall, I believe I described this as an old man doing stuff.
Mm-hmm. I remember saying this movie is messy.
But there's a difference between you guys saying it's messy and then completely shattering it because you think it earned something in the end, as opposed to saying a movie is messy, but kind of lovingly messy, right? And I'm not talking about chopping up the defense, right?
It's pretty good.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
You watch this movie, and when I press stop at the end of this movie, I kind of sit back and I'm like, I enjoy watching the scenes of him just breaking out into song at the fiesta. I enjoy remembering moments of him threatening Ron Livingston to a fight. Right. I enjoy watching him kind of banter with the owner of the diner when he's talking about how the crossword is easy. Right. This movie, to me, is a movie of moments. And I mean, I enjoy this movie thoroughly. Right. It's the same reason why I'm talking about this movie and kind of gushing over it lovingly, but it wasn't a movie that was even mentioned in the top 10 episode we just did, other than this clip, because I liked it enough that I wanted to use the clip, and I thought the clip was good. I like that clip about the tortoise, right? With David Lynch, of all people. Like, I don't like David Lynch's movies, but if there's ever someone who I enjoy hearing him talk about movies, it's David Lynch. He has some crazy wild ideas about movies, which is why he makes crazy wild movies. And his scenes in this movie, I feel, even if he feels a little bit stiff being an actor in a movie for once, it just, it, I can't kind of like it, hearing him talk about President Roosevelt, his tortoise. And
what is this?
Like, this to me, like, and this is why, like, months ago when I saw it and I brought it on the podcast, I brought it as a movie that I wanted Douglas to watch, because this movie is a Douglas movie. It's a movie in which I don't give a shit about the story, the plot itself, telling us about a man coming to terms. This is a movie in which, like, you break apart every scene and it's just a movie of great scenes, almost to the point where I feel that motion in this movie of having these scenes be so great, it creates its own little, just, I don't even know what word to use to explain it, its own little philosophy of life, right? Where you see a guy who walks around and talks about things like realism is a thing, and it's not so much about him coming to terms with life, but coming to terms with how all of these ideas take into place. You hear, you have a scene where he's talking to the waitress who comes to his house, and they end up talking about Liberace, right? And about how he didn't know why he even cared who he was screwing at the time. To kind of give you the idea of, you know, growing older and having your ideas change. Just like how at the beginning of the movie he's talking about how he doesn't understand how, it's not so much that he doesn't understand, but when you hear him talk about it, he seems just a little off put by the idea of, quote, realism is a thing, right? The idea of what you see is what you get, or that's what he always thought. But by the end of the movie, he has this whole other spiel about it, about the same idea. And you kind of get this sense of somebody who has come to terms with that idea, but it never becomes a thing where it in itself is a plot of the movie that I felt the movie needed me to follow. But when the movie is all over and all of these scenes just kind of meld in my mind, it becomes a philosophy that I feel that the movie kind of gives to me. And I appreciate it for that. And it's like, this is a strange, kind of funny, weird movie to me. And I like it for what it gave me. And I mean, it also helps that you've got Egg Begley Jr. being told to stick a lollipop up his ass, right? Come on. I'm sorry you guys didn't like it. And I can only imagine you guys sitting down there having muted the mics, being like, this guy's smoking some crack up there, isn't he? It's too cold for his brain to think, is how it's going on.
So, essentially, right? I'm listening to you talk. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God. This must be what it sounds like when I talk about things like Mystery Train, right? Is that the name of the movie? The Jarmusch movie?
Yes, that is the Jarmusch movie.
Both of you hated, that mm-hmm. I loved. Yeah. That is kind of like this in that it's disjointed, but at least it's disjointed in, you know, that there are developed stories, there are developed small pieces or small vignettes that try to put something together, but for me, boy, Andrew, I mean, you see the moments that you describe, right? Things like him bursting out into song, things like him making fun of an asshole with three letters starting with J, which, by the way, was a great old man joke.
Yep.
Those things, I feel, are great starters. And what kind of upset me or just put me off of the movie was that they were never acted on. They were never developed. You never felt the warmth and the wonder that comes from going down the rabbit hole, you know, knowing what could have happened if maybe the store clerk's mother was divorced and that song was something that her husband used to sing to her and they developed some sort of a bond.
And suddenly his Spanish goes from pequeño to...
you know, but I'm just saying things like that, right? Like, clearly I'm not a movie writer, but I'm just saying if you go down the path of, okay, this is a great entry into a new world, what does that world look like? But none of those things happened. The best we got was that you got more than you got some follow up on what David Lynch's Tortoise was doing. That's about as good as you got it in this movie, and that is kind of it's, what's the best word, it's disappointing, it's a shame, to be honest. This movie could have been so much more. And you know what's funny, so based on, and you talked about projecting you know, Harry Stanton into this film, and the way I read it, the way I hear what you are saying is you're almost saying, listen, it's almost as if, forget that this person is a character being played by Harry Dean Stanton. You look and you say, this is Harry Dean Stanton doing these things. And I have to tell you, when I read the things that people online were talking about this movie and saying about this movie, I honestly thought this was a documentary at first because they gave me that impression that it was like some movie about Harry Dean Stanton and he's an old man and, you know, it's his last movie and look at how they've caught these moments in his life. I literally thought this was not at this stage, not when I chose it. I knew what it was at that point. But at first, I thought it was a documentary about Harry Dean Stanton.
Talking about waxing. Andrew, I mean, I think the coldness is cutting off circulation, but... I appreciate the fact that you can find something to like in this messy movie, and that is fine. But you and your friends are wrong. Like, you guys don't get to... It's not an action movie. You don't get to go, story's not important. Right? You don't get to pick and choose. Because there's times when...
No, but I think there are movies that present to us things where the story technically isn't important. I mean, you forget action movies. We can talk about Shane Carruth films. I don't know if the story is really important in Shane Carruth movies.
Sorry, who is that? Who that?
The guy who made Primer and Upstream Color.
No, right? He made Primer.
Wait, there's a second movie there.
No, there wasn't. Primer.
Right, I like Primer.
Yeah, exactly. Let's leave it at that, please.
But you said the story in Primer is not important?
I think it's less important.
I think you might have seen a different Primer.
Like how you guys saw Primer is. Okay.
By the way, speaking of which, has he made another movie since Primer?
No, yes, he has. He made Upstream Color.
No, since Primer.
I mean, since he made an actual movie. And not what I assume. I assume his second movie was contracted by some private prison.
But that movie is enforce awesome.
Strict behavior in the inmates. They're like, listen.
Everybody, listen.
You guys keep fighting.
Everybody, I'm Damon, going to put on you can't color. Hear Damon right now because I've muted this part of the audio. Upstream Color is great. Go and watch it.
I can't. That has to be some kind of psychological experiment, right?
Did I pass or fail? For that?
They're just like, listen, we need to once and for all prove that film critics are the worst people.
Pretty sure.
But we need something scientific, right? We can't have any actual talent involved in this. We need to strip out anything that can be conceived as goodly. And what remains will force them to look at and see if there's any one of them that can look beyond the shitty acting, the terrible sound design, the no story, and go, I see something in this one.
Damien, I don't even think I finish that movie. I fell asleep.
Why would you? I finished it. There was a bit with pigs. Still off.
I remember there being pigs.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Movie sucks.
So, I guess we're finished with this movie.
Yeah, please.
So, I have a couple of things that I want us to talk about.
Yes.
Right? Andrew, do you have... is there anything you had planned before?
I feel hurt at how this movie is being brushed under, but all right, let's move right along.
Yes, let's move right along. M, motherfucker.
Harry Dean Stanton will haunt you in your dreams.
Let him try. Better than him have tried in Devon Field. All
right, so there's two things that I really wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. Right?
LGV30.
What is all right, three things.
Two things.
So one, I feel like we might just brush past and move on from. Yes. The other, I think, and I've gotten confirmation from Damien that we both agree that we really want to talk about some things. So the first thing is, and this is in the vein of making fun of somebody in the podcast, right? We always have to do
somebody.
This.
We don't know who yet.
Somebody. We don't know who yet, right? You see, the thing about this podcast is that it's always just the other person, right? And there are always two other persons, right? So Andrew can make fun of me, or he can make fun of Damien, or he could hit the jackpot and make fun of both of us, right? Right now, unfortunately, I only have unfortunately, I only have one person I can make fun of with this. But so, I watched a movie recently that I really want us to talk about. Me and Andrew were here. He had actually watched it already, but he deigned to see it again on a smaller screen, you know, not in 70mm or whatever the fuck. He can watch it in
18K,
five dimensions, right? And IMAX and, you know.
5D.
Smell-o-vision.
They still haven't told me what the fifth dimension is, but sure.
Well, that's the sort of thing, like, Fight Club, where you don't talk. The first rule is you don't tell anybody about the fifth dimension. But yeah, so me and Andrew watched a movie that I think is it's almost mythic in the way that people love this thing. And it's funny because there's only one of them prior to this one, which is Blade Runner 2040, whatever the fuck, right?
4897.
Yeah. No, I have some views on that, which I actually was surprised about.
You were surprised at your own views?
I was to an extent, actually. Damien, I think you have.
You felt your feelings coming in and you're like, that's weird.
Yes.
And I'd like us to speak about those feelings.
All right. So, 2017 is the weirdest year for movie I think I have on record.
Because the best is what you're saying? Cool.
2017 saved a lot of movie franchises that are shit.
Hey.
That is capital S.
Hey.
H.
Show some reverence.
Strong capital I. And exclamation marks on top of exclamation
By the way,
marks.
I love that we, and I think we all do, view this as a franchise when there's literally been one movie.
No, that's incorrect.
And
there's,
I know there have
14,
been like director's cuts and shit like that.
14 versions of the movie.
This is one of them.
There's been
prior
more
to this one.
Versions of this movie than there has Star Wars. Star Wars had to make episode 7 to rip off episode 4. They just kept ripping off the same movie over and over. This is the 10-year-old girl's cut. All sorts of nonsense. So last year, Wolverine. That shouldn't have been good, right? Douglas hates it, but he still knows it's better than the first. Right?
Listen, here's what I'll give them, right? I'll give them that they tried. Yeah. I think with the rest of them, they didn't try. Yeah. They just said, you know what, guys, let's make an action movie.
We'll have him take off his shirt and we'll be fine.
Exactly. With this one, they said, all right, we're going to see if somebody like Douglas can like this.
Right.
And they sucked hard, but...
Yeah, you can say
there was an attempt.
Right, so first Wolverine.
They made a great trailer.
Right. You're like, all right.
I really thought I was going to like that movie based on the trailer.
Fine.
Mm.
Then it was King Kong.
Oh.
No, King Kong is a terrible franchise.
I love that.
I always wanted
so
to watch
much.
The original one, the 30s one.
Don't. Andrew. There's nothing it's not worth it.
I've actually watched two versions of that movie so far. Well, actually, three if you count this year's.
Last year's, Douglas. Stop writing 2017 on the check.
yeah, stop writing checks.
I watched the latest one prior to this, of course. Mm-hmm. And I also watched, there's a like sort of 80s, maybe 70s movie with...
Kong Takes Over New York Broadway.
No, not that
that's
one.
That's what it is, right?
Jeff Bridges.
I don't know what it is.
With Jeff Bridges in it. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it because it was post me seeing The Big Lebowski. So I saw it and I said, the dude. And oh boy.
He said the dude.
As he does every Saturday morning.
Like, I saw the King Kong trail and went, this is trash, right? I know what this is. I've seen this
To
before.
Be fair, I agree with it. It is trash.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's the right kind of trash.
Yes, it is. Right?
Then the pinnacle of last year was Thor. Now, listen.
Oh.
Thor didn't have as much ground to cover as Wolverine. But
no,
it was pretty close.
Thor had way more ground to cover.
No.
Damian, I was willing to watch other Wolverine movies. If it wasn't for one person, I would be super... I wouldn't have been there with you.
Wait, hold on. What are you talking about?
Not how bad the first...
I want to know
Wolverine
who this one person is, though.
Tycho. The director.
Tycho. What are you talking about? Douglas.
There, I thought you were talking about me.
Nope.
The Wolverine movie, people had to confirm and then reconfirm how good that movie was. Right? There was nothing that was going to get me into that theater. It was until everybody was like, all right, listen. This does have jack shit to do with it. They just made a Wolverine movie where he just fucks everybody up. And there's a little girl and she fucks everyone up. And it is terrific. Like, it has nothing to do with X-Men. No one cares. I went, all right, I don't believe you. And it was after like a second round of everybody going, holy shit, this Wolverine. I'm like, you sons of bitches. All right. But if you guys fuck with this one. That is what it. With Thor, we had the high of Taika of Hunt for the Wilder People. Taika could have picked any project and I'd have gone to see it. Right? So saying that there is only one person is like saying, Damian, you'll only go to this dinner because there's fried chicken. You know shit, they're going to go to the dinner. Oh, thanks.
Damian, that's racist.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's also fried chicken. Who doesn't like fried chicken? Monsters. So
white people.
So Thor is when I realized something terrible had truly happened with 2017. Then I saw the Star Wars and was like, well, I guess this year is truly the apocalypse. I guess 2017 will be the last year of all the times. But much like Thor, Blade Runner had a name that would have gotten me to go watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Blade Runner because it is bad. Let me repeat. Blade Runner is bad.
Damian.
It works both forwards and backwards. It's a palindrome.
It's 2018. You can't say that anymore.
Right? It works regardless.
Fake news.
Blade Runner is trash. And then Dennis took a hold of it and said, Damian.
Denny, be respectful.
His name is Dennis. I am going to dare you to not like this movie. And he tried. He's just like, here's your movie, son. Hate this movie.
Damian,
and
he made that movie long and drawn out.
He
and
did all of the things.
All of the things.
He pointed directly to Blade Runner. And he's just like, anyone that want to test.
And Damian, I agree with you 100%. This movie is so fucking good.
He didn't even do the thing that Taika did, which is make a Taika Waititi movie starring Thor. He looked at Blade Runner, through all the garbage and went, I'm going to make this good because I'm better than all of you. And he's right. He's a better person than I am.
Yep. And you know what's
holy
funny is
shit,
I've
that
read,
movie's good.
I've read articles where Ridley Scott, so apparently it didn't do well in the theaters.
Yeah,
no shit. Yeah, of course. And Ridley Scott is in interview saying, "Yeah, it didn't do well because the movie's too goddamn long. Mm-hmm. That movie's too long for its own good." But guess what? I disagree.
I hear that there's a longer version.
Well, apparently there was a longer version before they cut it down. Right. Just like there was a longer version of every movie before they cut
it
down.
They're planning to release some longer version.
I see. Well, maybe the studio is Villeneuve has come out and said, "Brethren, that's my movie.
Okay,
there is nothing
done?
Else.
Okay.
I'm done."
All right. Yeah. He tends to do that. Mm-hmm. And Douglas. I've seen that movie 3 times. I saw it before we came in and did the top 10.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
No,
because I hadn't seen it at
after?
That point. Because would you have put
I know
it on
before
your top 10?
Or after.
Is that top 10 material?
The second time I saw this movie, I was convinced it was top 10.
Oh, okay.
The third time, I knew this movie. It's one of the
I've
easily
only
one of
the
five
so
best movies. Or the second, and like watching this movie again and again, because you know, you go in and you're like, all right, I know this movie is good. You can sit down and truly appreciate just how much effort, how much time and goddamn effort he put into making this movie. There's a point where one of the dreams where he was having about being a child, and when he finally enters the orphanage, let's call it, and you see the steps and thing, you're just like, and they have a flashback. You're like, it was 2 seconds ago. Why would you put that there? That's like, everyone knows that it's the same. When you watch it a second time, you realize, no, the scene is changed.
Oh, really?
He does change the scene.
I need to watch it again.
Exactly. Watching it again, you see all, like, this movie must have been, like, I hope he was, like, he saw all of it ahead of time. But if he didn't, and there was some editor crying in the middle of the night, having what's his face, Drax the Destroyer, as the first person, you're just like, all right. But then as it continues, you just pick up on more and more of the subtle details about this movie, and you're like, he didn't flinch. Like, he didn't turn Blade Runner into anything else. He just saw what a story could be in this world and did the thing that Andrew wants all the time. He just built out the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like,
oh, wait,
you
I heard
know
my
what
name.
Blade Runner
What's
is
going
and
on?
It is bad. How about we push this further out? Yeah. And with the exception of Harrison Ford, because his performance is trash, everybody else does real work in this movie.
I just love how Damien. Actually, I love how Damien does it like just randomly, just going like, and that is trash. Just like throws it out like cotton candy. It's like,
yeah, he's bad.
I mean, actually, I wonder how much work Gosling did, because he's just kind of. I mean, he again, it's similar to what we were talking about, and I don't think we said it on the podcast, but before the podcast, we said, you know, if we look at, for instance, Harry Dean Stanton's performance in Lucky, it's a great performance. But then how much props should we give him for doing, if he's just doing one thing, either being himself or doing one thing, right? And doing one thing well. Because it's always easy for you to say, that's such a great performance when there's all these ranges and all of these things that you have to do. When all you are asked to do is one thing, then you kind of look at them and say, but
if it works in the story, if it
and
works in the
it's
movie
similar
that you're
for Gosling,
watching,
right? So,
I agree with you. Like, he just gave another dry performance. He's just like, I'm going to be Mr. Stoic. But halfway through the movie, he starts to crack. And watching it, repeat viewings, you see him. Like, even when he, the obvious bit is when he's doing the test and they're like, your thing is off. But you see from the moment he accepts that the dream is his dream, and you see him scream out, he's like, God damn it, or whatever.
Yeah,
and
that was a good scene. That was a good scene. And he just walks away.
Right. Everything after that point, you see him go further and further away from the character that he is at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
To at the very end, looking at those two people, outside of the dirt that is on his face, obviously. There's actual emotions that you can read on his face at the end, yeah. where there's nothing in the beginning. Even when he was threatening to kill all of the people he murders at the start. Like, there's nothing on his face. All his interactions with everybody, including his AI lover. Like, there's nothing there. And at the very end, even when the giant one is coming over there and he's in the rain and she's talking to him, like the ad is talking to him, you can see on his face that there's real longing for the thing that he lost, and none of that existed. It is easy to laugh at Ryan Gosling and say he's just staring at the screen.
Continue to push pizza in his face.
Right.
And they just have cue cards in front of him and they just said, listen, just read it like a robot.
Right. Just read it how you normally read.
Yeah. They don't even give him time to prepare his lines. They didn't give him a script. Right. They're just like, here, because we don't want this. You to sound like you speak normal. Just
read this. Read. What's his name?
Which one?
Creepy guy that is making the robots. What's his name?
Oh,
Jared Leto.
Leto,
otherwise known as the bad Joker.
I don't care.
I liked his Joker actually.
I like most of the things Jared Leto is in. Yeah. He's a great actor. In this, he's so creepy, it feels unfair. One man shouldn't exude creepiness. It feels like. It feels like if you touch him, there's slime that would come off. He's so creepy. And the scene when they bring back, I mean, it's probably not a spoiler. Everybody probably knows the scene where they bring back the girl from the first one.
Oh, I actually didn't know she was going to be in this one.
And, this movie has no right to be this good.
No one.
And then Star Wars at the end of the year.
I mean, I really want to watch Star Wars again.
All of the movies I went into. If someone had asked me, Damian, pick the 5 worst movies of the year at the beginning of the year.
And at least 3 of these movies.
And I picked those 5, I got done. That is why 2017 will be trash. All these movies are garbage. But I am. It is frustrating how good that movie is.
So, okay.
I was so surprised.
Blade Runner's awesome, guys. I told you this from forever ago. Blade Runner remains awesome. I just like to say, I'm right.
2049.
5 for 5. I'm right.
Yeah, no. This movie is... Like, when I... And the thing about it... And it's as you say, right? So, I remember I first watched this movie. I can actually even tell you the year, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
The original Blade Runner. I can't remember if it was the theatrical or the director's cut or whatever, because it was a part of one of those box sets. And I've always had an on and off relationship with this movie. Mm-hmm. So when I first watched it, I liked it. Mm-hmm. Then I watched it again and
realized you're wrong.
Yeah. And it kind of just goes back and forth. And I think currently, right now, I'm at the stage where I appreciate some of the things, but I know that it's really not a good movie.
Yeah, that's how you like to talk about movies.
If only you've seen the things that I've seen, you'd
so
know
like,
this movie's
you know,
great.
There's some of the shenanigans, some of the puppet master sort of things, some of the effects, some of the looks and the faces and the
things
that you like
that
but
you can like.
But when you put it together
right,
I think
tell a story
I think it's bad
oh, boy.
Right. And so I like you mm-hmm. went into this movie not as violently as you
yes I was
but
violent
I went into this movie thinking you know
did Damien have a
I
knife
I want
out?
To like it but it probably won't be that good. And as you walk through the movie, Damien, and you see trope after trope. Well, trope is a bad word, but you see Blade running after Blade Runner.
Right.
Right? And you realize this is a full-on Blade Runner movie. And it even brings back, it references and actually even does some of the things that you look in the Blade Runner mm-hmm. movie and say, no, not good.
Right.
Bad boy. Stop.
Yes.
Down. Right? But
he's just better.
Damien, it works so well.
Because here's how good this movie is. I think they should make another Alien movie.
And Denis Villeneuve should direct it.
That is how good this movie is. Right? He has convinced me that there is one person that can make, that can take Ridley Scott's lunacy
what about
and make
Neil
something
Blomkamp?
Good.
He was trying. No. He tried at one point.
No.
And
Guillermo
Ridley
del
Scott
Toro.
No.
Neil Blomkamp has earned the right to do that. Neil Blomkamp has one truly spectacular movie.
True.
Guillermo del Toro has one truly spectacular movie.
Does he though?
He has two truly spectacular movies.
It doesn't. For movie falls in the woods. For movies unwatched, can it truly be good? The Douglas Robinson story. We're all idiots. No, Douglas, like, when I finished watching this movie, I went, I think he could do it. I think he could save Alien. I don't want him to, because then we're going to have shitty Aliens movie for eternity. But I think he could. At this point, there's no...
Isn't he taking over some other shitty sci-fi thing soon? I remember seeing something like that.
He could give me a proper Aliens movie. And I'm afraid that someone is going to come up with the same shitty idea. Yeah, the same shitty idea I just had and gone. He saved Blade Runner.
Yeah, but this movie. Andrew, do you have anything to say about this movie?
Andrew's doing backflips over there.
I know, right?
After we shut off all over his first movie.
I wish I could do backflips. If I did a backflip, we'd start the plot of Lucky again.
That would be your first yoga move. Remember, 21 reps, Andrew.
Yes.
I love this movie. Like the weirdest part is that when I saw this movie in September, I left the movie going like, I don't know. It was really pretty and it was long, but I'm not sure. It wasn't until I watched it again with you, Douglas, that I was like, all right, cool. I love this movie. I have a couple things I'd like to take out, but I love this movie as my choice decisions of this movie.
Andrew, can you please let Damien know? Because I want this. I'm actually kind of sad that you're not here. So that
Damien can hit
there
me?
Can be no physical fight. But I want Damien to know, Andrew, what pieces of the puzzle would you take out?
I would take out, or at least I would change the scene where he finds out that he's not the child. Not the whole plot of him being the child. Just the scene, because I want to take out all of like that rebellion people section. Because that is the one scene in the movie which puts fear in my heart that they're attempting to make a bigger franchise where they make 5 more movies a year.
Oh, I'm sure they... Well, maybe they would have if it made money.
Yeah.
We'll see. DVD sales.
But you can...
money overseas? No?
I don't know. Who cares?
But you can see that's the Andrew, one piece where, like, they could be and like, this is now the story of the rebellion in Blade Runner Part 20.
Of course, and you know the rebellion comes together in an alliance.
And we're talking about a movie.
And then there's only one, and she's inside the bubble, right. And so she has to hack into the Matrix.
Oh, sorts of shit.
And defeat.
Yeah, and defeat.
And I know
Kaiser Permanente.
Snoke.
And I know you guys didn't, but we're talking about a movie in which before it was released, they released like 3 short films online that you can watch, which talks about the in-between time, which really is inconsequential. You don't have to look at.
And I kind of want to watch it, but I haven't. No but Andrew, pray tell, is there any other part of this
There's
film
one other scene
would,
I'd take out.
You would take out.
And it's the first Jared Leto scene. I'd keep the second one. And it's because I feel like it's just repeated information that you could...
So are you saying that you would take out 50% of Damien's favorite part of this movie?
Yes, I would.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I would.
Damien, do you have a response?
Andrew's been wrong about this movie for so long that he cannot see clearly. This movie is so good, it's confusing. It's like, Blade Runner is supposed to be bad, and I'm supposed to like it, ironically. No, it's just a fully good movie.
We're not talking about Tommy Wiseau films, Damien. Right?
Like, I can see Andrew try to argue that this movie isn't as good as the first one, because he's delusional. He's a crazy person. I know one day we'll have that conversation. Hopefully he's near me. Hopefully I have a knife. Speaking of knives.
A blade. Mm-hmm. A blade is what you have.
There's another thing that me and Doug
No, there's something about. I want to talk about since we're talking about Blade Runner.
Ruining my segue.
And it ties a lot into the Blade Runner conversation and Damon talking about the five save franchises of 2017, as he puts it. Yes. There's an interview I was watching earlier today, and I don't know if this conversation will go anywhere, but we'll see, with Anthony Mackie talking about these franchises, and talking about how franchises has created the rise of these comic book movies, has created the rise of these franchises and the death of the movie star, that there was a time where every summer you'd get up and you'd say, guys, I want to watch a new Stallone movie. And you didn't give a shit what story Stallone was playing or what movie Bruce Willis was in. You just knew you were going to watch the new Bruce Willis or the new Stallone film. And I'd like to think that we in this podcast all kind of enjoyed that time for what it was. Right? Now you look at these movies and you're like, I'm going to watch a new Wolverine movie. Right, we're constantly talking about how Hugh Jackman has grown with the character of Wolverine in these weird dulcet tones, and talking about how we're afraid that now that Marvel has bought Fox, they're going to recast Wolverine in like a hot second and just go along with him. And guess what, guys? Well, and guess what, guys?
On, sorry, he's already said he's from even before, way before that he's not doing any more of those movies. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But money talks.
Yeah.
This is true.
When Disney calls you,
the phone rings hot. You start.
This is Mr. Mouse.
Just to let you know, there is a B in that number.
You know. Yeah? You know. Okay. You know when you watch cartoons and you see like they have these crazy character animations to things, you'll see the phone ring and you see dollar bills come off with the sound.
Yeah.
The idea of these characters where it really doesn't matter who plays them, like we just want to see the next Iron Man story, right? And to some effect it really doesn't matter, but I'm curious as to what you feel this has kind of done for the movies that have come out, because in the last like 8 years that we've been doing this podcast, we've had this constant decline of talking about the movies we love and the increase of just, like, it's just superheroes. Yeah. Like, that's all we have to talk about now. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it does feel to me like this... Damien is fondling my phone. Yes.
So you're saying I can't touch the phone? You made sure the 1 week I was there, the phone was nowhere to be found.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, Andrew, it's probably for the best. You'd probably throw away.
I remember the whole time Andrew was here, he's like, I love my phone. It looks so good. And every time I told him, no, it doesn't, he looked at me like I was lying. But he doesn't. He just doesn't know, right?
Andrew saw the best.
But yeah, so I feel like the rise of these comic book movies and the worlds that they've built for themselves, essentially what this is akin to any big trend that has happened. So this is almost like, I kind of call it the westernification of movies, right? There was a time when every movie was a western, and that's what it is today. Every movie is kind of like a comic book movie. And what the comic movie has done too is it's given rise to these trilogies and these franchises and these worlds, these universes, they like to call them, outside of comic books, right? And they're all fanciful. There's, even though I don't want to say that Star Wars has risen, right?
And the Force shall rise again.
But Star Wars is one of those movies or one of those franchises that has, I think, essentially, one of the reasons why it's doing so well is it's taken the opportunity that this type of movie being popular has given them, right? All of these fantasy, whether it is space, superpowers, elves and dwarves, like, you know, the fantasy sort of movie that builds worlds. And that's kind of what a lot of movies are, a lot of the blockbusters are, which I guess in a way, as you say, has diminished to a certain degree the value of the superstar, in a sense, right? Because especially now, right? At first, each individual movie was actually an individual movie. But nowadays, like, you know, Captain America is just a team-up movie. Most of these are just team-up movies. And I feel like maybe they just put things into a hat, put papers into a hat and pick them to decide what the name of the character is that apparently owns the movie. Because I don't know if I would say that anymore. Captain America owned that Captain America movie.
Right?
And similar for other movies as well.
That Spider Iron Man movie.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I think though that one character in particular they're gonna have problems recasting is Iron Man. For a couple of reasons. One, he started
it's been
a
decade.
It has been, yeah. Right? It's been a decade. He is a reason. Robert Downey Jr. I'm speaking about now, the actual person. Robert Downey Jr. is a reason why this exists.
Sorry, why we bought in. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was just so
like
good.
Iron Man, yeah.
Right? He was such, and it, again, this is one of those movies where he didn't have to act well, right? We were just like, just RDJ, just do you, right? Just be who you are. And that was what Iron Man needed. That charm, that buffoonery, that assholery to a certain degree just worked, right? And it may not be as difficult as I think it is because, for instance, I remember, and I usually try to avoid saying things like this where, you know, how can you change this person, right? Anybody's interchangeable in the movies. They're just they're just actors, and if you act like the thing that you're cast as, then you are that person, right? It's like James Bond. That is the cookie cutter sort of
where's my Terrence Howard
example of what this could be.
Right?
Now, I remember when Suicide Squad came out and they put in Joker. I didn't say it out loud, but in my head I was like, boy, but Heath Ledger.
Right.
Because I have to tell you, I really loved Heath Ledger as a Joker. I thought that was
you could have stopped
special.
At really love and Heath Ledger.
I know, right? That's right. It. But Jared Leto was awesome. And
he's not the problem with that movie.
No, he's not. Actually, he was the standout for me.
What's her name?
Yeah, she was good too. The two of them, him and Tanya, were really good. But and I hate saying shit like this, especially for, how can you do a comic book character justice? That's bullshit. But he made the Joker exciting. He made the Joker, he portrayed a Joker that I want to watch again. That if they say, and I think that they have, that he's going to get his own movie, I'm there. I'm buying 20 tickets. So,
not that Caribbean or not.
So changing Iron Man
20
might be
plane
as simple.
Tickets.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So changing Iron Man might actually be as simple as that, right? Mm-hmm. Just getting it's always as simple as getting the right person. But can you get the right? Is there a right person? Mm-hmm. Is the question, and I don't know.
They should just go hire the other way. I think Ice Cube should be something nonsensical.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of these movies nowadays are just crazy, you know, fantasy movies, and there are very few. How many big movies are what you and I would consider normal, right? With a person, like a person, and not an alien or a robot or a fucking runner on blades or some shit like that.
Runner on blades. That's what I was actually thinking about listening to this interview. I'm thinking about like the big crazy big budget movies that aren't the next Marvel movie. And it's not because Marvel has taken a big seat. It's, to me, like, it's... The thing is that as this progression happened with the Marvel Universe and then DC doing their thing and now Star Wars coming in, it was a thing to me where initially I had read all of it as, okay, so we're just adding Marvel to what movies we're getting, right? We're still going to get the Bruce Willis movie every summer. And I guess that's probably a bad thing because Bruce Willis movies are bad now. But just put in whatever name you want. And I'm trying to
think... For a while we had Liam Neeson,
yeah,
right?
And and he's still doing his thing. I think there's a new one coming out called The
Cognito. Yeah, there is. But it's every year it gets worse and worse. Right.
Because he gets older and older.
And it gets like, no, he's on a train. We can't...
Right.
That's literally... It's just what this one is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just Liam Neeson on a train. Liam Neeson on a plane. Liam Neeson on a boat. Liam Neeson in a house. It's a Dr. Seuss book. With Liam Neeson.
And Liam Neeson reads his plots in the Dr. Seuss book. Like, I'm trying to think, and I honestly, I don't think I can pick out anything where I'm like, oh, it's the new, this actor big movie coming out that we're going to be looking forward to. It's just the next Black Panther movie. Right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, for us, like, we'll just like some of the action movies and we won't like them. But it's just an interesting thought that listening to Anthony Mackie talk about, especially given Anthony Mackie is now one of them, right? He's the Falcon.
He is.
Right?
So, one of us.
so it's not like Mackie is standing there on the side going like, I'm fighting for independent Hollywood or whatever.
Yes.
Right?
And actually, I wouldn't mind if he gets his own movie.
I'm sure at some point.
His own team-up movie.
You mean his Falcon movie?
Yeah. Falcon, or if they retire Chris Evans and put him into that suit or whatever it is. Because I remember when he first came out, I was lukewarm at best on him in terms of that role, that Falcon thing. But
you're like, what's a Falcon?
The more I see him... Yeah, exactly. But the more they give him, the more time they give him in the movies, is the more I really enjoy him. The Falcon, he's great.
And it helps that Anthony Mackie is awesome.
True.
Yeah. I think we're, in some ways, trying to paint over what used to happen in movies. Like, what has happened now is they've gotten better at building franchises. But it has always, always, always been whatever Disney cartoons and any franchise that we can milk. It's always been that.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings triggered a lot of people to try big Lord of the Rings type movies, which failed spectacularly. Spider-Man was the first one in terms of, because the Batman movies were always being made, they just took a long time and they had to change a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is the first one where they went, we can just keep going.
And not only that, Spider-Man I think was the first, well, not first, but it was the biggest one, right? Spider-Man was for that time, even though clearly it didn't have the same sort of proliferation.
Right.
Spider-Man was the Iron Man of that time, right? Spider-Man came out and you remember, you may have been watching it at this point, maybe not, but Andrew, you do the Entourage show, right? That was the yardstick that they used, right? When they pretend made Aquaman.
Right.
They were like, ah, we beat Spider-Man! Because Spider-Man was so huge at the time.
They made an Aquaman movie.
Yeah, they did. Which is why I remember in the back of my head, the joke has always been, whenever I see Aquaman in a movie, and I know they haven't made a proper Aquaman movie yet.
You just start screaming, oh, but yeah!
That, or if like Vincent Hug Chase can just be in the background somewhere, just acknowledging that, you know.
What was the stupid movie he did after Aquaman? There was a
drug cartel
Pablo
movie.
Escobar.
Yeah.
It was an Escobar movie, Medellin movie.
The Medellin, yeah.
Was that what it was called?
Yeah,
Medellin. Okay.
Stupid. That TV show is such shit.
It is. And I don't know how I liked it so much, but even now.
We're bad people.
Yeah, we were. Then. But even when the movie came out, maybe what, 3 years ago? I watched it and for some reason it's still.
Because they're just jerks.
Yeah.
and you enjoy the fact that they're real pieces of garbage, but it's bad.
It's horrible.
Like, what used to happen was no one knew how to make franchises properly. This is why it took so long to get a second movie done. Mm-hmm. So, like, Bad Boys. People love Bad Boys, and it took an eternity to get Bad Boys 2 done.
Yeah.
And it's taking another eternity to get Bad Boy 3 done. But no one used to write these movies. Like, even though they were big blockbuster movies, no one knew how to write them to kick off the rest of the movies. But that is what they were trying to do. Die Hard was a franchise, kind of by accident. The first one was better than anyone really thought. It took an eternity for the second one to come out. It was bad. And then they were just like, I think I have a script. Now they're writing all of that shit ahead of time. Just like, this is the story we're going to tell. Yeah. And it is 19 years in the future. And they plan, because they got it. They turned big blockbusters into TV shows. Fast and the Foolishness, the first one is trash. The second one was a complete reimagining of the, right? The third one, yet again, had no bearing on the first two. Then there was a Tokyo Drift, and like, it went all over the place before people realized what we can do.
Yeah.
Is instead of writing a movie this way and have it end definitively and no way to get back in. Like, if they thought about it, Arnold Schwarzenegger would still be doing Terminator movies.
Oh, he kind of still no one is.
Right, right. But now they're trying to do catch up.
But because, you see, if the thing is,
initially, we'd have never stopped watching Terminator movies and Alien movies.
So the thing about what Damian is saying too, right, is, and I'll connect it with what you just said a while ago as well. I feel like what used to happen back in the day is one guy, or maybe two, would sit franchise? Down. Forget franchise at the moment. They would just sit down and write a movie, right? And they'd be like, this is a movie I want to write. Here you go. And all of a sudden, as you said, by accident, it becomes this huge thing. But there's no planning for anything else. So what will happen is somebody else will be like, well, why don't I write a movie that's just like that one, but call it Cobra or whatever else, right? And that would be the next year's movie. But no, they figured out that essentially, you don't have one person write a movie. You have a staff, right? And they all sit down and they know, even if it doesn't work out, right? Because there are all sorts of false starts in this franchise building world.
Right.
But what they do is they say, okay, we know what we want. We want to, because this helps us as well, we want to make money and to be fed for the rest of our lives.
Right.
So let's figure out how all of these pieces of the puzzle work. And they have vision boards and all of this shit. And they put everything together. That I don't think was done back in the day. And that's probably why we have so much more of this. And I think also that Marvel, even though Marvel, and it's never the first guy to do it, right? For instance, everybody loves the iPhone. You and me, Damien, always look at the iPhone and say, yeah, I hear you. But it was there from the past. But Marvel is the iPhone of franchises, right? Marvel is somebody finally getting it right and saying, okay, this is how we see you, Batman. Mm-hmm. We see you, Superman. We see all of you guys and what you did right and what you did wrong. And we're going to take out the wrong stuff and just put in, well, mostly the right stuff. And then that's what they did.
They got it wrong the very... Like, they put out the Hulk that year.
No, technically that wasn't them. Remember, the Hulk is, again... It's the same thing with Spider-Man. The Hulk is another guy owning it.
But they... All of that...
Yeah.
That year, they were just like, all right, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they put out the two of them.
At around the same time. Yeah. I remember we were always arguing over which one was better.
One worked. And they're like, we're going to build. Because the plan was, whichever one works, we're moving forward.
Yeah.
But the thing people are discounting is Star Wars has always been a big franchise. There's aliens, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What used to happen was, because the movies were one and done, what they do to get people in is pick movie stars.
Yeah.
So Nick Cage put out three movies
in a year and a half, mm-hmm. and they were the biggest movies because they knew, all right, this we can't use Schwarzenegger because people are tired of him. Or they were Hollywood was quick to find out whenever there was fatigue with whatever star. So it was Nick Cage, mm-hmm. then it was Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan was then too soft, and so they got Jet Li. Yeah. There's a lot of kung foolery.
Even though Jet Li, I wouldn't call a star. Actually, I wouldn't even call Jackie Chan a star mm-hmm. in the West, right. so to speak. Right? He was. But I feel like he was almost right. He was right there.
You saw a concerted effort. But definitely
way more than Jet Li. Jet Li was.
You saw not a concerted that. Effort to push yes. these people yes, into did. It, yeah. and then at some point they went back to. They were like, "All right, you know what? Let us try again." Because Batman screwed it. Batman Forever screwed everything so hard. They're just like, we're done.
Whoa.
This is a wrap.
No, it wasn't Forever. It was the one after that.
Batman and Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which about nipples.
Yeah, man.
Nipples.
Mm-hmm. And Batman Forever, actually, I think was probably the best one. Not best, the biggest, the right. most moneyest of and them all, probably.
So it was until Sony and Spider-Man made $1 trillion. They're like, we've got it. And then Sony and Spider-Man was quickly usurped by The Lord of the Rings because yeah. everyone went, no one can make this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that comic books are this new revelation that Hollywood just found. They've been looking towards books. They're just like, all right, listen, now that we know we have Spider-Man and Lord of the Rings, we know now what you need to do is get these big tomes and try and make one movie. Yeah. Get people with that, and once they watch one, we just it is just residual money, forever. And Marvel got it the most right, and they've been continuing to get it right. And when they make missteps, because they've made so much at this point, you just accept
yeah.
that there's another one coming.
And also, the thing about their missteps is that there are some people that actually like them, right. like Andrew.
But the churn is so rapid. Like, that is the thing that Marvel is doing right, is that you don't go 6 months
yeah,
without watching something that has a Marvel logo.
Yeah.
And that is Disney. Disney knew that because that is what Disney did with cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, you're like Lion King mm-hmm. and
you have Emperor's to have Summer New Christmas, Groove, right? Summer right. and Christmas.
Emperor's New Groove yeah. and Mulan and all. And when they made missteps, there was the Pocahontas one. Everyone just ignored that and they moved on until Pixar. And people were going, you know, Disney isn't really bringing it. And Disney looked at Pixar and said, you come here. Because people are acting like Disney is new to acquiring things that will make them trillions of dollars for an eternity. They saw Pixar and go, you come here. You're mine now. You can put the Pixar logo. Who cares? It's the same thing with Marvel. You can put the Marvel logo if it makes you feel better. But yo, dog. This is it. This is the house Mickey Mouse built. When's the last Mickey Mouse movie you saw?
Actually,
yeah.
I saw a Mickey Mouse movie very recently mm-hmm. simply because I had one of the girls children. Here. I had right. small children here.
Does me playing Cuphead count?
Fantasia has a lot of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Was it Fantasia the last one or something? Fantasia 2000? Like Disney, no... When I
no,
saw,
man, they have a lot of CG Mickey Mouse nowadays.
When I apparently. Saw Disney finally put up and they're going, we're buying fucking Star Wars. Oh. I knew it was over.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, who else they're going to buy? This won't end until Disney owns
the world. Disney's Batman. About to own Netflix.
Right. When Disney owns Batman, they will stop. They own sports. They'll own every shitty property that will make anyone any money. They're going to buy it.
Damien, can you imagine what is going to happen when Disney opens up their streaming? Is it this year or next year? Their streaming yeah.
App
platform.
You mean Hulu too?
My God. That too, they own Hulu. Yeah. But forget Hulu, right? Because yeah. at least they own it. They'll be like, all right, you can stay.
It's
but
cute
as soon as all of the comic book stuff, all of that stuff leaves Netflix, Netflix is just like, all right, Disney, you win.
No. I think, knowing Steve, I've known Steve Netflix for a while.
Yeah.
What Steve will do is continue to play to his strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to just buy things from BBC till Disney buys the BBC and then that, we're done.
You see that they've started their comic book things, right? Mm-hmm. So they bought Mark Miller's comic book.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be some
who you're supposed to truly worry about is HBO, because Netflix will do quantity. Mm-hmm. That's how they're going to make it up. They're just going to go, we're just going to pay for these shows forever and ever, and people already have Netflix and will pay us for, like, there's people who will never cancel their, they don't even know what credit card Netflix is charging at this point. They're just forever Netflix, who cares? Game of Thrones ends 2019, which means HBO has 2 years to find something to replace Game of Thrones.
And there's no Game of Thrones even this year, can you imagine? Yeah,
but Westworld. People continue paying them.
Yeah, they will.
Westworld, I don't see Westworld being it. We love Westworld, but Westworld hasn't garnered...
Do we though?
No, really? I'm talking in general. But Westworld isn't what the dragons were.
No, it is not.
And, I mean, I hope so, but...
I know, that would be great if... Yeah. Next season they come out with a bang.
Just like,
it's all about Big Little Lies, guys. I still haven't finished the show. I don't know.
Sure,
it's not good.
But yeah, like Hollywood has always been about franchises. They couldn't do it before because they.
So you're saying? Before the franchise used to be the Will Smith franchise, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It used to be the Jackie Chan franchise.
Right. You find the best, most blockbuster-iest movie, and you find the biggest star, and you put the two of them together. Like, Will Smith doesn't fit the Wild Wild West. Clearly, that was for somebody else.
What?
Right?
Come on.
Doesn't make any sense.
Damien.
Him and Cisco going straight.
You're saying he wasn't supposed to be the Man in Black?
Like, The Matrix was an accident.
Oh, The Matrix.
And then
that is another example. And then
they're just
that's another example of, let's try and make more money off of this.
We need two more.
Yeah.
And watch us. He's like, fuck yeah, I can do two more. Yeah, me and my brother, our sister, whoever it is, we'll do two more. And they couldn't. They couldn't get it done. Those two movies, they're not great.
Anyways, it was just something I thought about that I heard in this interview. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, man.
But me and Damien had something we wanted to talk about. Yes. And so I know Damien wants to go into something specific, and we will. But what I kind of... And it's... I know we're going to segue quickly into the specific because it's something that we've belabored a long time. So especially because I had a lot of time on my hands lately, right?
You're fired.
Hey, we don't need him calling.
I know, right? Essentially, I feel like Netflix was on their A game in terms of TV shows this year, yes, but also close to the end of the year, right? The end of the year, in December alone, you had... all right, you guys are not going to care about this, but Lovesick, which I love. I actually didn't even know. And this is something that I'm upset with Netflix about. They're not good with fucking marketing, especially when that show is not named House of Cards.
They don't have to.
Or, no, they do. All right.
You're already paying
them. Yes, but I'm paying them because I want to watch things that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know the things are on there...
You're still going to pay them.
No, but... So, for instance, I only knew...
Subscription numbers are only going in one direction.
Damien, even big things, right? Like Marvel things. I have known what the date is, turned on Netflix, and it's not the first thing. Not only is it not the first thing, but I had to search so deep... I couldn't even get it in the lines. I had to be, you know what? I have to go into the search function and find it, which is bad.
You said that, but you still did it, didn't you? Did you not watch these shows?
But then the thing is, right? So that works for Marvel.
This sounds a lot like a crack addict, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Like complaining about how hard it is to get it, but he keeps searching for it all the time.
What I'm trying to say, though, is that works for Marvel because, as you say, everybody watches Marvel. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. Everybody's like, oh, where's the Defenders? Where's Daredevil? Right? But for smaller shows that Netflix has, it can't work because
like
people will never know. Exactly. People will never know and never look for it. No, I actually didn't even look for it. I was lucky for some reason. It was in Like, they have a line for recently added or some shit like that.
You think it's luck, but they designed the app that way.
They did not design
it. They used the algorithm and said, this is British right, TV is guy.
Steve's anyway, algorithm.
Anyway, but Black Mirror came out this last month.
I'm still not done the new season.
So, Andrew, I've seen a lot of people shit on this season. And I'm real upset about it.
People are lunatics.
Because, do you know why they're shitting on... To be fair to them, I haven't really read their reviews.
Oh, so you're going to go on hearsay as being upset at people
hearsay,
for what
they're...
No, but based on the high level, the first paragraph and then me saying, fuck your review, right?
Yeah, how reviews are supposed to be read.
How reviews are supposed to be read. It seems to me that the reason people don't like it is because these episodes aren't saying enough about our technology and our future and how that intertwines, because it did in the first couple seasons. And those people can go fuck themselves, right? This, for me, either you like the show or you don't like it, right?
So hold on, one quick
question. I don't
question.
Care about what it
one
says
quick
about
to make
how
sure
important
I understand
it is.
You, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Are you upset because they are upset at what they see in the show, or are you upset at them because you disagree with that very specific point?
That both. Very specific point, right? Both. So I don't... People can... If somebody don't like various episodes, that's fine. Because to be honest, and I think we all agree, there are good episodes, there are also
episodes.
Bad episodes and weaker
some
episodes.
Some are bad, yeah.
Right? There are at least there's at least one that's
I know
bad.
Two terrible.
Right? So I'm not saying that there is not bad things about this show, right? But if your reason for not liking one or more of the episodes is that it isn't
commentary on
exactly,
present
it,
day.
There's
and what
not
the future
enough
be.
Commentary, like
relax.
Don't watch the show. It's right. not for you.
The first episode is about a man having relations with a pig on the television. What social commentary?
No, I mean, there are definitely some with a lot of social commentary and whatever. But essentially what they're saying is not that,
that
this
whole,
doesn't have social commentary enough,
that
but that the commentary isn't important enough, or it isn't as good as it should be or as it
I
has
agree.
Been. And that's dumb, right? Right. If you don't like the show, don't like it because you don't like it. Don't like it because it's not important enough, or it's not, you know, it's not forward-looking enough. Or
just don't understand.
But anyway, I actually there are some weaker episodes this season. Mm-hmm. This season has some just great episodes.
I just finished the Hang the DJ episode.
Hang the DJ?
The dating episode.
Oh, okay. Is that what it's called?
Hang the DJ?
Okay.
That's what
is that the title?
That's the title of the episode.
And by the way, that's an episode that in a way I don't like. And it's one of those that prove that the ending is has a lot to do with
the
how
payoff,
much you like
yeah.
a show. Yeah. So everything up until they explain what this show is actually, the episode is actually about, I think is great. And then when they tie everything together and you realize what it is, I think it's just a little dumb, a little too stupid for me.
I enjoyed the stupid.
But I enjoyed the first part. It was fine. Or it was great until then. But yeah, Black Mirror, godless, as lukewarm as you sounded me, I sounded when I talked to you about this, Andrew. I really kind of like that show. It's a Western. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Pretty decent show.
I'm afraid.
And
it looks bad.
And there are a lot of fantastic shows that have happened this year. I mean, Big Mouth, Mindhunter. We can go on.
Oh, I love Mindhunter.
Yeah. But, Andrew.
Nothing compares.
You and I. You and I saw a trailer before you left.
Mm-hmm. I saw it's up. I haven't watched it yet. No.
So I told you, January 5. Uh-huh. So I actually had a chance to watch it before I go back to work. It's end of the effing world, right?
Yes.
Actually, I didn't mind Bright, but. We can have that as another conversation.
We did.
Yeah.
Where so, people diminish our expectations so hard. We're just like, it's an action movie.
Yeah.
Like, you expected it to be Marvel? Come on. Let's relax.
But end of the effing world, Andrew. So you remember watching the trailer and thinking, wait, this could be great, right? That trailer just expand it into 5 or 6 episodes. That's what that show
eight
is.
Episodes.
It's eight?
It's 8 episodes.
I didn't even realize that. I watched it over the course of one day, just straight.
I'm sure time passed.
Time passed, yeah. It, Andrew, this show is fantastic. it has that same quality of I'm going to say something out loud and then make a joke about it as a narrator in my head and vice versa all the time. And it continues to work. And it shows it's these weird kids who do make just poor decisions, but in the most watchable kind of way. And it's so good. I'm actually surprised that I was able, and this even made me more want to talk about it, that I was able to talk about it at least with Damien, because Damien came in here and I think it was even unprompted. Damien was just like, Douglas, have you watched End of the of the Effing World? Mm-hmm. And it was Damien, this show.
I am only upset that it's not a movie, so that I can't put it at number 3 in my top 10 list for last year.
Well, everyone's putting Twin Peaks. You can throw that in and just laugh at people.
Yeah, but I don't listen to mad people on the internet. I saw half of the trailer. Half. Stopped immediately. And went, I need to know when this is coming out. And they're like, Damien, it's on Netflix. And I went, that's all I need. And started watching it, didn't realize it was a season. I just hit the thing and it started playing. I did not pay attention to anything in the top. I was just waiting. And plus, I couldn't see anything for 5 seconds because it was in definition. Don't know what definition, but whatever.
To be defined.
It started and it was bits from the trailer and the first episode is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was physically upset when the first episode ended because that is when I realized it was not a movie. And luckily, Netflix is just like, yo, dog, just give it 5 seconds. We got you.
Yeah. And actually, the way that this show works is that essentially, it's like it flows immediately. So the very last scene in the last episode is generally the very first scene in the next episode.
Right. You can tell that they shot all of this all together. Like,
this
TV show is so good. It is so, like, it's starting off 2018 with just a permanent smile on my face. I'm going to watch this TV show a lot. It is only one season. I cannot see myself not watching this again multiple times easily. Because everything works. The two children work. Their weird relationship works. Towards the end of the show, they start dealing with real things, like real issues that these children clearly are going through. And towards the end, they're just like, yeah, this is like, it's all fun and games, but there's real shit that we need to talk about. Life has real consequences. But at no point does the TV show break from what it is trying to achieve, which is making you laugh all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The girl is the worst girl on the planet. And just watching his stoic reactions to her, like, and having the narration and watching this crazy journey, it is so fun and the pace is so kinetic. Like, there's no point where you feel like there's a dip. And it was at the very end when I realized, oh, it's a BBC
Channel 4, but yeah, British.
You go, no, all of this makes sense. Because, of course, they just broke it up into as many episodes as they needed to tell the story, and then they're finished. They don't care about filling 13 episodes or whatever. They're like, listen, this is a story. We have to break it up into X amount of episodes. And they just went for it. And it is, it reminds me a lot of Luther. Not in terms of tone.
Yeah.
But in terms of quality. It just went, of course, this is the story. And you can tell that they knew from the very beginning where the story ends. And they just divided it into episodes. And every episode feels better than the last one because it is building to something, so there's no drop off. And while there's not
it's not crazy things happening to them. It's not supernatural things or anything like that. But it's just so fun watching each of their interactions and the story that is being told. At the end of this, it was very late and I was very tired. But boy, was I happy.
Listen to me now, man. So, okay. So, and this show is great, right? And it just goes to show that throughout this show, it's like I needed something to go wrong, right? No matter how good it was, my mind was like, this can't be right, right? Even up to the end, in the last scene, something happens and essentially I remember saying to myself, because even though everything had gone right before, there still has to be a way for it to go wrong. Yeah. I say, you know what? This is how they should end the show. But they won't, because they're assholes, because it's a shitty TV show.
Right.
And I'm in my head just getting upset. And then I realized, wait, the show just ended. Mm-hmm. That they did exactly what they needed to do.
They beat you to it.
Yeah. So this show, it's about as perfect as it can be. It's exactly what it needs to be. And honestly, in a way, it deserves to not have any more episodes. It deserves to be this, just one and done. I have a feeling that that won't happen because, you know, TV. But, and truthfully, the next season could be great again. I wonder where they go.
It's British TV, they could make it better. Mm-hmm. But if they never do, I'll still be...
Maybe season two could be like startup. You know, mm-hmm. But yeah, this
are they just change the whole
yeah,
thing?
It could
just
be a whole
new
yeah, they
characters,
did,
new
they've,
everything.
They've done that in other TV shows, like right. my favorite show, Criminal Justice, mm-hmm. which became The Night Of on HBO.
Oh,
yeah, that's exactly what they did. They had a first season, which was what is on HBO essentially, but with Ben Whishaw instead of Naz, no, not Naz, what's his name?
Biggie.
Yeah, anyway, you know
Jay-Z.
What I'm talking about.
Tupac.
And then the second season, they had Maxine Peake, who, by the way, you will know if you've watched all of Black Mirror. Have you seen Black Mirror?
I've seen all of
you
Black
know
Mirror.
The one with the dog. It's completely different from the first one, which is fun. And I don't even know what point I was making at that point. But yeah. Every...
You mean like a half second ago that I edited you to? Like, I don't know how you're not able to follow your own train of
Listen,
thought, Douglas.
I've been eating out of too much tin foil, and I'm getting that thing that they call Alzheimer's or dementia, clearly, because my mind is gone! What's the name of the show again? The Effing World?
Yes, End of
the End of the Effing World. Is... superb. Andrew, you need to watch it ASAP. And you know, I think these Netflix guys, they've got some good TV shows.
Yes, the TV people have been doing work.
Yeah.
Do you think like they have like fights in the office, TV versus movie department? Like,
I mean,
just keep
the movie
throwing.
Department keeps losing.
Yeah.
If that is the case.
Like, the TV department just laughing at them every day of the week.
We've got lots of cards. Go fondle yourselves.
The movie guys come out and they're like, we got Bright this year. And they're like, well, I guess I hope the best for you. And then it comes out and they're like,
They're like, good luck with that. You've got what?
We got a Will Smith blockbuster. No way that can fail.
Oh my gosh. My gosh. But, you know, it's going to be fun seeing all of these, what happens to all of these streaming services and the fact that they're actually like top-notch stuff coming out on a lot of them. Actually, by the way, Andrew, have you seen that your boy Seinfeld is now properly up on Netflix?
Yes, I saw it come up where it said Netflix Original. Coffee.
I noticed that. I thought that was odd that even the original seasons have Netflix tacked onto them now.
They paid to put their logo on it.
But wasn't it Crackle or...
Crackle,
I know it was on Crackle at a point, but was it considered a Crackle original the same way that Netflix originals are as well?
I think Crackle only had it in the sense of distribution. It wasn't that Crackle was producing it. And even at that point, he always posted it all up on his website for basically free. All he had to do was watch like a Hyundai ad. Right?
Yeah.
And they were all there. So now it's just on Netflix. I mean, we've spoken about this Netflix original thing because you talk about all of the British shows that you know from long before. But they're going to keep producing. And I read recently that David Letterman is having a new show that's going to be going up there shortly.
Yes, yes, fairly soon. And you know what? It's a good thing, you know, when they do something like this. Because, for example, I'm going to go back to a show that we talked about a while ago. And I know you guys haven't watched it, but Lovesick, right? That is a prime example of how Netflix original, that originalification helps. Because that was a show that was on, I think it might have been ITV or Channel 4 or some shit like that. And Netflix just said, you know what? Give it to me. It's mine now. And I think it was probably, that season was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that it was produced. And then Netflix was able to put it on its system. I guess it did fairly well because all of a sudden now, maybe 2 years later, there's a season two that they put together. And then now you have a season three that just came out this week, or at least that I just saw this week. And I'm sure there's going to be more, right? The same thing with Black Mirror. Even though I think Black Mirror was a lot more contentious, because I love that Channel 4 literally sent out a release when Netflix bought it to the effect of, well, if you want to be with him, then, you know.
First. Fuck you!
Right. They're like, first.
we thought, essentially, they were like, we thought you liked us, but I mean, I guess if that's what you want, then sure, be an asshole. Like, that's the effect of the wording that came out in that release. And I thought that was funny. But also dumb, because effectively what that means is that those people don't realize that if you give somebody money, they will work for you. You know, it sounded to me like somebody saying, yes, we know that we can't pay you the same amount as Netflix, but you should have stayed. This after there not being a Black Mirror for like, how long was it since then? Like 2 or 3 years?
A long time.
It was the BBC. That's how long it takes for new seasons to happen with all shows, right?
But yeah, so that whole Netflix buying people, and I know I actually used to wrong Stars for it as well, because Stars did the same thing with Thorn, even though they haven't developed any more of that. They did the same thing with Missing, and a few other shows, Pillars of the Earth. I don't know to what extent that has helped those shows to continue or not, but definitely Netflix has, I think, figured out the best of both worlds with that, in that, yes, in a way, you know, you can look at it and say, oh, that's not really a Netflix original, but then it allows them to do more. And it's the same thing with another British show that I didn't really like that much, but it was all right, called Crashing. I noticed, because it used to be on Netflix just as, look, this is a British show. All of a sudden, lately, I noticed it's now a Netflix original. So I'm sure there's like season 2 and 3 coming out very soon.
Yeah, but right? I think that's the one thing I'd give Netflix in that sense, is that when they pick those up as opposed to like Showtime or Stars or whoever else, and kind of adopts them, like they pick them up and then they produce more. It's not just here's the thing that the other guy made and we're just tacking on our logo so we can feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think Netflix is doing really well on a couple of fronts. One, on that front, in terms of, let's just call it overall, because it's both their stuff and other stuff that they've adopted. They're doing really well, exceptionally well, on the original television content, right? But what I think they're also doing well on outside of the US, so I know I don't really see it because of how I have my Netflix set up, is the Hulu side of things, right? I have started to notice that there are a lot of shows outside of the US that Netflix has available next day. Breaking Bad, all of the DC comic stuff. Even, what was the latest one that I saw all of a sudden have Netflix logos on it? Just all sorts of things. The Kiefer Sutherland Show.
Fargo.
Designated Survivor. Yeah. Fargo is on Netflix one now, Andrew?
I think Fargo is like in certain regions.
Yes. Yeah. So they figured out that, okay, Hulu has a US lockdown, but I can do it everywhere.
There's people who lives who live outside of the United States. Exactly.
So much so that I think there may be some rejiggering I need to do to my Netflix account.
Make America great again.
Yeah.
Put all the international content in the American Netflix.
But no, Netflix, like, as much as I was joking earlier about what is going to happen when Disney pulls their stuff, and let's be honest, there will be some repercussions.
Not if Netflix cuts them a big enough check.
No, because Disney is still going to take all of their content. That's not going to stop.
Yeah, but Disney's bought that money.
Yeah.
If Netflix cuts them a big enough check, Disney will have it on both networks and be confident that people will still come to their platform.
Yeah, yeah. Because they still have all of their vault. Right, they'll get to double dip.
Pay for Netflix. As long as you pay us, who gives a shit?
Yeah, yeah. But even if things were to leave, Netflix would be fine. Because they're doing exactly what they need to do. They command that content that nobody else has.
Until they buy Batman. And then they'll buy every country. Little by little. I'll be a Disney employee by the time I'm 50. I'm sure of it. Who do you work for? The Mickey Corporation. Mickey Corp.
No, people won't ask that anymore. Yeah. They'll just be like, so which part of Disney do you work for?
Do you work for Google? Pfizer or Mickey? That's all it be. Tech, drugs, cartoons.
Maybe they'll be like Tesla for cars.
It's Google. Google will buy Tesla. Google will buy. All right,
that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
I want Google to try and buy Apple. I know. Listen, Dallas. I know how market capitalization works. Google doesn't have the cash to get it done, but I want it to happen just to see what would happen. Because if Apple bought Google, people would be upset. But they'd find some other author. Like, they're nerds. They'd move on. But if the reverse happened, Apple fans would kill themselves.
I would want that so much. Because, you see, Google buying Apple is a bad thing for you and me. It means
it sucks.
Our phones will suck forever. Google buying Apple?
Yeah.
Damien, they'll get a file system.
and now that we've walked into technology speak, I think it's about time we wrap this all up. Say, guys, it's 2018. It's the year of the Unnamed Movie Podcast. We're taking over the podcasting world this year.
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. Right.
Someone seems confident. What's this confidence based off of again?
It's based off
there's
of
a, there's
facts
a curve. There's a confidence curve
and spreadsheets.
That Andrew is on one side of.
Oh, okay.
But he's not on the side that he thinks he's on.
He can't see the other side of the curve.
Camino alla locura, aunque todo me tortura. Se nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de perder. Tú tenías mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón y me muero por volver. Y volver, volver, volver. A tus brazos otra vez. Llegaré hasta donde estés. Yo sé ver. Quiero volver.